Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
When you talk about retribution, are you talking about directing your attorney general to try to go after your political enemies?
When I talk about retribution, I'm talking about fairness. We have to treat people fairly. These people on January 6th, they went, some of them never even went into the building, and they're being given sentences of, you know, many years.
Are you going to pardon those people who've been convicted,
well,
Mr. President?
I'm going to look at them, and I certainly might if I think it's appropriate.
Okay, but the two notables that were given convictions that weren't present on the grounds were clearly coordinating the effort. And so the fact that they didn't happen to be there, I mean, it's not like the trial court didn't know that. So he makes it sound like all of these convictions are ridiculous because, my God, they're even convicting people that weren't present. Yeah, but you can materially participate even though you're not physically present. That's just a... Okay. Deception comes in a lot of different forms, okay? And you have to pay attention because deception can be slippery. This is the interview that former President Trump did, of course, with Kristen Welker in her first week as the host of Meet the Press yesterday. Long interview, 74 minutes, I think, in real life, and chopped down to about 40, maybe 30 when you take out commercials on the air. A lot of stuff. I didn't even watch the full online one. I just watched the on-air. I'll get to the other one here when I can, but a lot to watch. Also,
I want to stay on this idea of what you mean by retribution. Are you looking to appoint an attorney general who will prosecute the people you tell them to prosecute?
I'm looking to appoint an attorney general who's going to be tough on crime and fair. Very simple.
Well, okay. Again, his notion is that Merrick Garland works at the bidding of President Biden. I'm not convinced that that's true, but it worries me that if he believes that's what the attorney general is supposed to do, is work at the bidding of the president. That's not how this is supposed to work. But his concerns about Bill Barr in the past aside, the January 6th conversation is what made all the headlines yesterday. The big headline, the big takeaway. If you go to all the news sites, you'll see that this line of questioning was the one that got the attention. Oh, by the way, just a quick reflection, but just to make sure you know, the meeting tonight in about Perdido, about the roundabout and other things, is at the Perdido Bay United Methodist Church. Now, it's on in a rarity, but it's not technically called the In Rarity. It is called the Perdido Bay. Thank you to somebody for texting us in. I always appreciate corrections. 437-1620. If you have feedback, disagreements, corrections, or just, you know, hey, attaboy, whatever you want to text in, we'll take it all. Anyway, back to the conversation with Kristen Welker on Meet the Press, her first day on the job. I thought a very good day on the job. I mean, she clearly got a blockbuster interview, the first interview he's done network news since, I mean, leaving office, I think. That's what they claimed, and I don't have reason to think they're wrong about that. And a lot of stuff in this interview. And I thought she was fair, frankly. I thought she was, you know, firm, fair, asking good questions. The president will always try to push you around, will always try to not answer or do whatever he wants to do, and she kept trying to corral him. He's a hard man to corral. That's certainly true.
What did you do when the Capitol was under attack, though?
Let me just tell you.
In the moment that the Capitol was under attack.
Did you see the statements I made in the Oval Office and just outside of the Oval Office?
Absolutely. I was there that day.
Our police are great. We love our police. We love everybody. Go home.
That was at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, more than three hours after the attack started. I want to know who you called
by the way,
on that day.
Nancy Pelosi.
Why would I tell you that?
Listen, Nancy
don't
want to Pelosi.
Talk about that.
Why would I tell you who I called? That's an extremely interesting thing to not answer. And some of that's probably going to be relevant in the trial, but, you know, we'll see, okay? But that's an it's weird because, you know, he will say whatever he wants to say. He doesn't usually say just that. He doesn't usually say that. He will say, I don't want to answer about China and Taiwan because why would I want to tell you what I'm going to do in advance? But why would I tell you the fact of who I called on the phone that day? Very interesting.
Nancy don't want to talk
Pelosi
about that.
Was in charge of security. She turned down 10,000 soldiers. If she didn't turn down the soldiers, you wouldn't have had January 6th.
Did you call military or law enforcement?
What?
Did you call military or law enforcement at the moment the Capitol was under attack?
I'm not going to tell you anything. I told,
okay.
I, Let me put it this way.
Wow, again. Because that's the crux of the argument, right? Is did he not order troops? Did he not call the cops? Did he not take action? Because the failure to take action is the allegation, right? That it was neglect of duty, right? Abdication of duty. That he should have acted when he didn't act, okay? And then all this stuff about Nancy, well, we'll get to that, but...
I behaved so well. I did such a good job. Nancy Pelosi turned down 10,000 soldiers. If she didn't do that,
but
and now
Nancy
I understand.
Pelosi doesn't have the
I understand
that
the police testified against.
Chief,
listen to me, Kristen. Listen to me. I understand that the police testified against her. The chief very strongly against her. Capitol Police, great people. They testified against her, and they burned all the evidence. Okay, they burned all the evidence.
They destroyed
all the evidence about Nancy Pelosi.
What?
So the evidence that would prove that I'm telling the truth about a thing that can't possibly be true is also conveniently been destroyed? Nancy Pelosi controls 10,000 troops? Nancy Pelosi doesn't control the military, sir. You control the military. And there's a 3-person panel that controls things that happen at the Capitol. One is appointed by the Speaker, one is appointed by the Senate Majority Leader, and one comes from the archivist or something like that. And none of them, I mean, the Senate is just as responsible as, you know, Mitch McConnell at the time would have been just as responsible as she would be responsible. And none of them are responsible for the military. That's you. If the president orders the military goes in. This allegation, that this longstanding lie that Nancy Pelosi refused to do what he told him to do, it just because you say it a bunch doesn't make it true. It's not accurate, and it doesn't hold up legally. It doesn't make any sense.
What do you say to people who wonder why you as commander-in-chief, you have authorities that Nancy Pelosi doesn't have as commander-in-chief?
No, she has authority over
the
Capitol.
Why didn't you send help in that moment, though?
Frankly, just so you understand, I assumed that she took care of it. She turned down...
But when you realized that the National Guard wasn't coming?
Well, you don't realize anything until quite a while. National Guard not coming. I asked it to be there 3 days in advance, and she turned it down.
She says that request was never officially made.
Oh, stop
just so
it.
You know.
Yeah, and talking with, like, you know, who is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs? I forget. There's the military person who says, oh, he mentioned something in an offhanded way that I didn't think constituted an order and didn't believe he was serious about because it was just his extravagant way of talking. Exactly. You didn't officially issue the order. Even if you thought you might have said it, you didn't issue the order. And it doesn't make any sense to say that she would have. She doesn't have the authority to turn you down. I command the military. No, I'm not going to let you. What? It doesn't work that way.
Capitol Police said that he wanted it and Nancy Pelosi wouldn't accept it. She's responsible for January 6th.
Mr. President.
Nancy Pelosi's responsible.
Oh. Mr. President, you're the president, though. You
refused to interview her.
You have authorities that no one else has as the commander-in-chief. Do you think you showed leadership on that day?
Yes, absolutely. I did.
Okay.
So they come back afterwards, and she kind of gives a, you know, like a post-that-segment fact check.
Now, a little bit of context here on Mr. Trump's allegations he ordered troops in the days leading up to the January 6th attack. The Defense Department says the former president never gave a formal order to have 10,000 troops ready to be deployed to the Capitol. Of course, it's unreasonable to blame former Speaker Pelosi or lawmakers on Capitol Hill for what happened that day. Pelosi's office says the claim she turned down troops was, quote, completely made up.
So here's the thing, okay? I'm sorry, did we go to traffic, Candy? Or did I completely skip you on traffic?
I'll do traffic again. I don't know,
lost track
to be
of
honest.
Time as we're talking about
I-10 eastbound at mile marker 4, near the Welcome Center, actually. They're down to one lane as they work on a crash involving a truck. Like they're trying to get it loaded, and it may be cleared now. It's moving just fine, but maybe a little slow in that area. If you have traffic tips, then let us know. 437-1620, text them in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Yeah. Sorry about that. So I have said repeatedly, again, if you're new to the show, you may not have heard any of this. If you've listened to me for years, you've probably heard me say this before. I don't blame the unruly behavior at the Capitol was some peaceful outside, some peaceful inside, and some violent inside, and some insurrectionist. Okay, there's like 4 categories. The vast majority of the people who were there were in the first category. There were some in the second. There were fewer in the third and even fewer in the fourth. Okay. That's why I'm always careful about what I call it. I don't call it an insurrection, even though there were some insurrectionists there. I don't call it a peaceful protest either, because there was clearly unpeaceful elements to it. I have not blamed and I don't blame Trump for it. Okay. I don't think that what he said at the, you know, speech worked him up. But at the same time, could he have stopped it? Could he have done more? Absolutely. If there's a failure, it's a failure of action, right? It's a, you know, sin of omission, so to speak. But this notion that he's going to now start, and it's not brand new that he's doing this, but he's repeated this lie so many times. And maybe he believes it in his own head. Maybe it's just an error. Okay, I don't know. I think he's capable of that. That somehow it was Nancy Pelosi's fault because he tried to solve it and she thwarted him. That doesn't make any sense. And he just keeps saying this nonsense. So what does all this do with regard to, you know, his candidacy being reelected and all of that? I'm saying this mostly for the people who are new to the show, in case you haven't heard me say this before. I always find myself terribly conflicted about the former president, because on the one hand, I think he did a lot of amazing things as president. Really did. Genuinely one of the most effective at, you know, the wall, defense policy, no war started under his watch. You look at NATO, you look at, you know, China, you just across the board. And obviously the Supreme Court, okay, and life. And then when he talks, every time he talks, he makes me not willing to vote for him. If he would just not talk and do the stuff that he does, I'd be like, go, man. But it's every time he talks, he drives me crazy. And then you get put into this situation. Well, okay, well, it looks like we're a long way from actually having a nomination. We're a year away from the conventions. But, you know, it looks at this point very likely to have him versus the president, Biden versus Trump. God bless. Can we not find better people? Like, just frustrating. Unbelievably frustrating. And I know a lot of you love the man, like love, like dearly, deeply love. And you think, well, Andrew, you're a rhino. Bull. Come on. Make that case stick where somebody is willing to listen. It's weird. It's weird the way people can't think about this stuff and consider the other point of view and listen. And even me, who is an extremely strong critic of many of the things with President Trump, even I, looking at, okay, in the end, if there's a November election between these two, what do I do? And I'm just telling you, it's very frustrating. I don't want four more years of this. And I just, this drives me crazy too. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you ever find yourself overwhelmed by anxiety? Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Did you ever notice the three levels in that verse? Thoughts, emotions, and behavior? The verse is saying that our thinking will impact our emotions or heart, and then our behavior when it says, "So is he." Our anxiety problems start with what we think about, and then impact our emotions, and then ultimately determine our behavior. I encourage you to discipline your mind to stop thinking about things that are untrue, unjust, and impure, and start thinking about things that are true and just and pure. You'll find that much of your anxiety will be gone and your emotions will be healthy, and then your behavior will be Christ-like.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, Pensacola Bay Oysters, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of everyone in your community. Listen in tomorrow at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel, when Director Marie Mott will give a public health update. That's tomorrow at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, it's eclectic. They started with a dream and a vision to be the band of choice for any occasion. Funk, jazz, Motown, R&B, neo soul, country, top 40, and more. This week at Bands on the Beach with Eclectic. No pets, no glass.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie. It's like headline news for radio. Every day, 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
This incident is going down on your permanent record. A record that's going to follow you throughout your entire life.
I was playing that just for you.
Oh, I love that movie. I have seen it in 70 years.
Rock and Roll High School.
Yeah, that was Miss Togar.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It was, I'm glad I watched it one time.
Yeah, it's stupid. I know. I love it so much. It was like my first...
snarky, rebellious,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's when I first got my crushes on rock guys, and it was the Ramones.
And PJ Souls.
PJ Souls, who was Riff Randall, rock and roller. Yeah.
All right, 720.
Hey, Rambo, the smart.
Right. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Oh, yeah. As we take a look around, good news is we're not showing any of these slowdowns or delays. I-10 eastbound at mile marker 4. It looks like it is open. It was down to one lane just a little early. There was three accidents on I-10. It looks like they have all been cleared. If you have traffic tips, though, let us know. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey, if you need HVAC work, electrical, plumbing, Peden, they will take care of you. And right now, if you sign up for a Peden Smart Care membership maintenance plan, routine maintenance is covered for just $35 a month, and you enjoy priority scheduling over non-members. Like, you know, God forbid we have a storm, but if there's a storm and a lot of need, okay, or, you know, whatever, you get ahead of the line, which is kind of a cool thing. 15% discount on repairs or upgrades, and a 5% discount on major replacements. And if you need emergency service, you know, after hours, because, you know, again, if the AC goes out at night or on the weekend, you got to pay extra. Well, you don't pay extra if you're part of the membership plan, the membership maintenance plan, the smart care plan from Peden. So if you need work done, HVAC work, electrical, plumbing. I mean, they have offices all over the place, including Destin, Fort Walton, Panama City, and a large location here in Ellison Field in Pensacola, and also Baldwin County. So, you know, they've got a lot of operations in the vicinity. Check them out online at Peden, PEDEN.com. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The United States is swapping money and prisoners for five Americans detained in Iran. The deal, expected to be completed today, would give Tehran access to $6 billion of its oil revenue the U.S. had frozen through sanctions. National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby says there will be restrictions on how Iran can use that money. Ford is now...
Was it $6 billion? Is that right? That's what I have
$6 billion, yes.
Yeah, and it's only allowed for humanitarian purposes, right? But, I mean... You put six plus in the humanitarian purposes category, and they can shift in the budget away. I mean, like, you know,
right,
it's like,
yeah,
education funding. I mean, okay, the lottery funds education, but, you know, that's just less money we have to budget from the general fund, right? So anyway, go ahead, David.
Ford's now laid off 600 non-striking employees at its assembly plant in Wayne, Michigan. This as the UAW strike continues into day 4. The automaker announced those layoffs last week. And the military looking for a missing fighter jet today, Andrew. The Marines, a Marine Corps pilot apparently ejected from an F-35 after some type of a mishap in the air. Now, that pilot landed safely. That's the great news in North Charleston, South Carolina. But there's no word on what happened to this plane. Where'd it go?
How does an F-35 go missing over South Carolina? How?
Has nobody seen Stripes but me?
Well, right.
They made off with a whole camper.
It's been way too long since I've seen it.
It just seems like...
Another country.
How do you lose an F-35? You know what it reminded me of, David? I think you'll appreciate this. It reminds me of one of my favorite movies.
Andre, you've lost another submarine.
Nice.
You know, The Hunt for Red October. It's just, that's what it reminded me of. Like, you lost an F-30. What? It's a $100 million plane or $80 million plane, depending on which version.
As expected, if you get on X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it, comedy gold. There's all sorts of pictures being posted. I saw one that it was like a mock-up of an eBay listing.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
an F-35, $80 nice. Million. Dollars. There was another one, the F-35 on the side of a milk carton. There was one with like a street and the light poles and little missing flyers all
God.
Down the street.
That's hilarious.
Great stuff.
And also the picture in my head of, you know, Bob and his fan boat, you know, him and his three brothers dragging it up out of the bayou somewhere or whatever. Like that's
Bob,
that's
his what, brother Bob, and his other brother
and his
Bob.
Other brother, yeah. His other brother Daryl. That's right. Oh my God. Missing posters and wanted on the milk carton. That's hilarious. David, thanks for the levity, man. I appreciate that. What do you have coming up in your news after Fox?
Well, a bad story here out of Pensacola. A child found a gun and was shot. More after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The president's son, Hunter Biden, is suing the IRS, accusing agents acting as whistleblowers in his criminal case of illegally releasing his tax information to target and embarrass him. $6 billion in Iranian oil money is unfrozen as part of a 5-for-5 prisoner swap being completed today.
The White House maintains that this is not a ransom payment because these are not U.S. taxpayer dollars. The five Iranians will receive clemency in exchange for the release of five American detainees, although two Iranians, according to the country's foreign minister, will stay in the U.S.
Fox's Jackie Heinrich. 9 juvenile escapees are captured in Pennsylvania. 4 turned themselves in. The rest were in a stolen truck.
One took off in the field. Taken into custody shortly thereafter.
State Trooper David Bain. The escape happened after a ride at the Abraxas Academy facility in Morgantown, Pennsylvania last night. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, News Radio, 92.3. It's 67 degrees right now. A nice, cool, clear morning here in Pensacola. Enjoy that. And a terrible story this morning. A 3-year-old child has been hurt after finding a loaded gun in a Pensacola home, shooting themselves in the arm. Pensacola police say that child was taken to the hospital yesterday afternoon. The child suffered what appears to be a non-life-threatening injury. And PPD says the child's parents have been cooperating with this investigation. We'll have more on this as we learn more throughout the day. The inmate that walked away from a work detail in Gulf Shores last week has now been captured. And police say 34-year-old Christopher Bates was arrested, booked into the Mobile County Jail over the weekend. Right now, no details exactly where he was found. Police do say he'd escaped from that work detail last Wednesday, shedding his clothing and fleeing with the help of an accomplice. He'd been serving a 20-year sentence on robbery charges. The Century Town Council will be appointing a new member this week to replace Luis Gomez Jr., who now serves as the town's interim mayor. Any Century residents that are interested in that temporary appointment, which will be until a special election can be held next month, are asked to call the Century Town Hall. In order to be appointed, though, you do have to be a registered voter in that town. And that special election would be held Tuesday, October 17th. There would be a primary if there's more than 3 candidates. Otherwise, it would be held November 1st. Firefighters were called to a local landmark restaurant for a kitchen fire over the weekend. That happened at McGuire's Irish Pub on Saturday afternoon. It didn't take long for firefighters, though, to contain and extinguish that fire. Reportedly, it was in a vent hood. Channel 3 says that one employee had to be treated for smoke inhalation, but otherwise no injuries reported. We do have a clarification on the District 1 Town Hall meeting that's going to be held tonight. That is going to be at the Perdido Bay United Methodist Church, and that's going to be from 6 until 8 tonight. Again, that's the Perdido Bay United Methodist Church from 6 until 8 p.m. tonight. They'll be talking about that roundabout, some possible improvements to be made there, as well as the possible Perdido Key Incorporation. Again, that meeting 6 to 8 tonight at the Perdido Bay United Methodist Church. Authorities have arrested a teenager who's accused of killing his mother and wounding another person.
This is heartbreaking. Our suspect is only 14 years of age. This 14-year-old young boy's life is over too.
And that is Hillsborough Sheriff Chad Cronister, and he says that teenager had pointed the gun at his own head. When deputies finally caught up with him, they were able to talk him into lowering the weapon and arrested him without further incident. The other shooting victim currently hospitalized in critical condition. And ending with some more positive news, we do have a top finish for the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office Canine Unit Bloodhounds, and specifically Canine Zinc, at this year's Southeastern States Manhunt Competition. Canine deputies and their handlers were at that competition late last week. During the event, the canines were tasked with locating either a lost child or a suspect, and Zinc took first place in that competition. So congratulations out to Zinc and to the entire Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office on that. 735 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives.
Okay, not showing any accidents or anything. But there were accidents on I-10 eastbound, but they have all been cleared. But it is very slow and stopped, it looks like. Southbound 29 between West Roberts Road and 10 Mile Road. And the same, it's been stop and go. It looks like a 9.5, between 9.5 and 10 Mile 2. So that's both north and southbound. Use caution there. And wherever you are, if you have traffic tips, text them in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you very much, Candy. Now we'll look at our Channel 3 weather.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today, mostly sunny skies, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66. For Tuesday, beautiful weather will continue with a high near 89. Plenty of sunshine with a low on Tuesday night near 70 degrees. Nice weather for Wednesday, high near 88 degrees, low in the 70s. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And it's a nice, cool morning right now. 67 in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, and 65 in Milton. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishenko with Your Money Now. The major federal flood insurance program that covers millions of properties is set to expire by the end of this month. Experts expect Congress to reauthorize the program, but also question whether renewing what they call a flawed program will be enough to help homeowners. The National Flood Insurance Program needs to be reauthorized by Congress by the end of September so home buyers can close on their homes with new policies. Buyers who purchase properties with government-backed mortgages in high-risk flood zones are required to have flood insurance. Cisco Systems will lay off 350 employees in Silicon Valley next month in the tech giant's latest round of job cuts. Cisco will lay off 227 people in San Jose and another 123 in nearby Milpitas, effective October 16th. Last year, the networking company announced it would slash about 5% of its workforce, or 4,000 jobs, and it laid off nearly 700 more Silicon Valley employees in March. On Wall Street, futures are a bit lower. That's Your Money Now.
Some folks like to drive alone. Some take their best friend, while others ride with their growing families. But no matter how many passengers you have, there's a Volkswagen that fits your needs at Feedmore Imports. The 2023 Jetta Sport, the sleek compact sedan now from $24,361. The Taos S, a sporty crossover with a competitive price of $25,681. The Tiguan S, with the third row, is larger and it's now $28,251. And the family-sized SUV that seats seven passengers and has style and comfort for everyone to enjoy. The 2024 Atlas SE is now at Feedmore Imports from $39,421. And the VW ID4 EV, the all-electric SUV with plenty of space and an abundance of tech features, is now from $35,332 at Feedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Feedmore Imports, 103 New Warrington Road.
Sale price before tag, tax title, and associated dealer fees. Discount on the ID4 EV includes $7,500 lease rebate. See dealer for details.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who pay attention to every little detail. The ones who fuss, tinker, and sweat the small stuff. Because you know the tiniest thing can make the biggest difference when it comes to keeping business moving. We get it. We're the same way. Offering access to product experts to help you quickly and easily find what you need. So whatever your industry, you know you're always getting professional-grade products. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply.
You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I have been here during an emergency, and I think y'all have too. And I mean this with all respect. I'm not trying to be difficult, but y'all, when you rush a decision, you make mistakes. And I really think y'all need to consider some things, and Mr. Collins should too. Because in an emergency, the city manager needs to be here to lead employees and to lead operations. And is the city manager able to do that when his family is maybe located in Alabama or at least located 30 miles away? I have been here during an emergency, and I think y'all have too. And I mean this with all respect. I'm not trying to be difficult, but y'all, when you rush a decision, you make mistakes. And I really think y'all need to consider some things, and Mr. Collins should too.
So Mayor Heather Lindsay, sorry, I think I replayed the same clip. It was not what I thought it was going to say, because there's a part in there where Jeff Snow asks to speak and she kind of pushes him off and says, no, I don't think so. And then he sighs like, can I continue to comment on this? Because she just wants to have her speech. This is Heather Lindsay talking about Scott Collins' potential rehire as a city manager, which they did vote in the end unanimously to go ahead with. And one of the questions that had come up was he going to live within the city limits or within the 5-mile perimeter around the city that is where the city manager is supposed to live? Apparently, they've made exemptions for that before, and they're willing to make an exemption for that for him as well, because, you know, hey, the guy that we thought we had that we then didn't have that we all regret that we didn't get because of all the drama, we might get back. So Heather Lindsay, again, the mayor of Milton, just this ongoing soliloquy slash cross-examination, first of Alex Andrade, and then, you know, all the reasons why we need to, you know, be careful about this. She says several times, well, I like Scott, I like Scott, I like Scott. But then she goes on for, I don't even know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes? I didn't look at the thing to see how long it was, but it was an enormously long speech about all the reasons why. And that they didn't follow the process, and that's why, you know, look, we came here to hire headhunters. We didn't come here to hire Scott Collins.
You know, we came here, I thought, to introduce the item of the RFP for y'all to have a headhunter to do a nationwide search, and Mr. Collins would have every opportunity to apply in that process as well. And just from a process standpoint, my other concern is this. When you don't follow process, when you don't apply policies consistently, you do not take action in ways that can inspire public trust. I'm not saying you are going to not inspire public trust by definition. I'm just saying you're running that risk.
You kind of are, though. I mean, that's kind of what you're setting up. What's fascinating about all this is that even the people who had been on the other side, you know, some of them, Marilyn Farrow, for example, who has kind of aligned herself previously with the mayor and with the Pitchfork Posse and with Mike Cusack, both of them city council members. She was more open to this and seemed to have had a change of heart and realized the error of how they had done things before. Pam Mitchell, who is one of the sort of founding members of the Pitchfork Posse.
Pam Mitchell, Milton, Florida. I frankly am very excited that we have the opportunity before us to hire Mr. Collins. He was head and shoulders above any other person that we looked at. I think we all agree on that.
And she also said that even though Ivan had been a challenge in the past, because the issue is he lives in Alabama. His wife has a job in Mobile County as in the finance department, and he would be commuting. And, you know, that's outside the 5 miles. And what happens in an emergency is he close enough to be effective as the city manager. And Ivan was a problem, obviously, with the bridge being out and all that. But she says, look, he's such a good guy that I think he would find a way to make it work. So Pam Mitchell has come on board. Marilyn Farrow has come on board now. Vernon Compton, I don't remember where he was before, former city council member. He's like, this is a great opportunity for us.
What a great opportunity for the city of Milton. All of you.
It is. It really is. There are still some who are opposed. You know, Mike Cusack, who, and Heather Lindsay on the council are the ones most opposed. Now, she's a voting member only. I mean, she's a non-voting member only for tiebreakers. Kind of like Kamala Harris in the Senate, you know, in that sense of only being able to break ties. But Mike Cusack is still opposed. And Sherry Chapman, who's always, well, I say this for Sherry, again, another member of the Pitchfork Posse. She's always entertaining. I'll just put it that way.
Yep. Anyone on this council that is okay with the way this situation went down makes me question why you're sitting there. You have an attorney that's the public certainly has a lot of questions about, but as part of the public, he totally went against your vote. 8 votes. He took it upon himself to not do what you asked him to do. And smirking, Mr. Snow, smirk if you want to. It's the truth.
She does not like people sour facing her while she's diatribing.
I'm just saying, and you can shake your head, but yes, I'm correct. You were out of line. Mr. Collins would be a very good fit for this city, but not this way. The only way that you get a good fit is to go by the process, go by your rules, and to go by your law, and you broke them. You were the first one. Yes, you did. You contacted
him. I think
she's
talking to Alex now.
You reached out after every one of these people voted to hire a headhunter. They did not hire Mr. Andrade to headhunt.
Okay, so what actually happened is he's had 3 conversations with Scott Collins. Alex Andrade is the city attorney, right? He's had 3 conversations with him. And the most recent one was he called just to see, hey, we're getting ready to go through this process again. We're trying to hire somebody. What tips do you have for us that maybe we can avoid the perils of what went wrong with you? And they had a conversation for a bunch of time, and then like 20 minutes, and then they hung up. That was it. The next day, Scott Collins texts Alex and says, you think city council might be interested in me still? And Alex is like, hey, that is not my call to make, but you are free to make inquiries. They seem to like you. And so he sent an email saying, I'm open to this. I only want to deal with Alex. I don't want to deal with any members of council. I don't want to deal with any members of the public, but I will deal with Alex. Alex did not go soliciting. He didn't go headhunting. He didn't ask him. He just was asking this other thing. He didn't go against what council said. All of this drama nonsense that Sherry Chapman is selling is false, but as I say, it's entertaining.
And that is why the city, no one trusts what goes on up here, because you when the rules seem convenient, you break them.
That's not accurate.
Now, I'm sorry. I'm telling the truth.
Mm.
You can shake your head all you want, and you may have a degree, but I got a few degrees myself. And I can tell you, you were out of line because you violated what they voted. And you work for them. They don't work for you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, we'll come back to this in a second because Alex had a response. Candy's got traffic on the 5s.
I do. As we take a look around, it looks like it's very slow again. This is I-10 eastbound. It's slow from Car City, and it looks like it's backed up again to the Pine Forest exit this morning. Now, this is eastbound again. 29 in Pinestead showing an accident. That may be part of the slowdown this morning on 29, where it's been stop and go for a little bit. If you have traffic tips, though, let us know. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks.
To the degrees.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back. So, drama in Milton. So, Alex Andrade has been listening to these criticisms of him and, you know, these false allegations about what he has done. And he says,
well, if any council member has any concerns at all about how this proposal was generated or questions my integrity or the veracity of what I've said tonight about how it occurred, I'm happy to read the text messages verbatim if there's actually any question about my integrity in this process.
And they did not ask for that because they know it wouldn't support them, I think. Mike Cusack, then finally we hear from Mike. And so the question had been, well, if he's going to work remote or half remote or hybrid for the first couple of months and then, you know, do something at least as a commuting thing starting in January, how is that going to work specifically?
The question I have
Mr. Andrade.
And by the way, it's going to be crucial in this conversation to remember Alex had two conversations previously, and now just the conversation about how can we do this better, and then a text from Scott saying, hey, would anybody be open to hiring me still? And then email, but no other conversations than that.
The question I have, Mr. Andrade, since you were in the negotiation with Mr. Collins, which wasn't the process that was originally determined, how is he going to communicate with the city on the days he's not here? Is it going to be like through Zoom meetings, or did you guys get into that at all?
Councilman Cusack, to be clear, to make abundantly clear, I haven't negotiated anything with Mr. Collins. He unsolicited texted me after I called him just doing background research about the headhunter process, asking him for tips on the best ways to avoid the prior circumstance. I have not negotiated a single term with Mr. Collins.
And the question of how would you manage a hybrid work environment on Zoom would have been after the text saying, would they be interested, do you think, in hiring me again? So he hasn't had a phone call with him since then anyway. It's a silly question.
Aside from the specific days in that October contract that he's listed as unavailable, he will make efforts to be here in person or to work remotely, but it would be a combination of both. So I believe that there would probably be some days where he'd be here in person and some days where he'd be communicating remotely via Zoom or Teams or something.
Well, that's what I was asking. So that topic of conversation did not take place between you and him as far as the remote issue.
So the phone conversation was geared towards what is the best way to administer the headhunter process for recruiting someone new. He brought up via text, what do you think about me approaching the council and reconsidering? And I said, that's an opportunity for the council to consider. I can't speak for the council. I don't negotiate without the council's authority, and I would never break that barrier between the council's authority and my position as a member of city staff. So no, I have not negotiated any terms with this gentleman.
And I haven't had a verbal conversation with him at all since all of that anyway.
I just believe that he took the draft that I sent him,
You took it upon yourself to send him that, correct?
No!
You initiated
the initial
draft.
On July 14th, Councilman Cusack.
That's the prior draft.
No, I'm talking about in the last 2 weeks.
I did not send him a draft.
Good Lord.
After July 14th.
You didn't initiate any phone contact with him then? What you're saying?
No, Councilman Cusack,
it's messing up again, but it was a unique.
Oh, so anyway, so he just, I don't know. It's so frustrating. Doesn't get it. Doesn't know what's going on. Can't follow the conversation. Tries to pick a fight over things that are silly and ridiculous. And so in the end, this is the good news. In the end.
It's messing up again, but it was a unanimous vote.
Oh, thank you, Molly. So it was unanimously approved. That's really wonderful to have that kind of unanimity when you're bringing on a new hire. So thank you, council. For your decision.
Yay. So if he takes the job, if they can figure it out, if nothing goes wrong, we're actually going to get the first choice city manager that they were kind of trying to get all along. And let's hope for the best. Because I would like to see, I think that if Scott Collins does take the job and comes on, he will establish some order. And I think the order he will establish will very much frustrate Heather Lindsay, but it'll be for the good of the city. And that's what she knows he's not on her side anymore. Didn't buy into the conspiracy that she was believing in, selling. She was working against Ed Spears. Mike Cusack was working against them, persuading him that there was some conspiracy. Like, all of that stuff, that's not there. So they know somebody's coming on board that, you know, they can't be all that excited about. But he can't vote against him because it would look petty at that point. 7:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
It's not too late.
Enroll today for fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free.
That's right, loan-free.
PSC offers more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that works best for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for fall classes today at PensacolaState.edu. Go here, get there. Pensacola State College.
This is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Join me for the Chamber Connection Show,
This week on the Chamber Connection, I'll be talking to Carol Carlin, who will have a special announcement about a Chamber event that'll be upcoming in early 2024. So join me for the Chamber Connection.
The Chamber Connection, today at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Jaclyn Harris Preparatory Academy presents The Many Faces of Tina Turner on Friday, September 29th. Sue Strawn will host an evening of electrifying music, fun, and dancing by Dance Connection. Master storyteller Robin Richard will share the story of the most amazing recording artist ever, Tina Turner. This is a fundraiser event for Favor House, so join them for a fun evening. Tickets are $55 and can be purchased at eventbrite.com.
You know, if you're working on any kind of a home improvement project or an addition or renovation, or maybe you build things for a living, because really Pensacola Hardware is your store for anything in that spectrum, from the just amateur once in a while to the professional, they've got you covered. And, you know, I know a lot of times we talk about just, you know, your own home improvement kind of stuff, but seriously, if you're a contractor, like if you build things for a living and you haven't gone to Pensacola Hardware, just, you listen to the show, okay? Just trust me. Just go one time. Go one time and ask them things like, you know, hey, do I have to come here or can you ship it to the job site? Do I have to pay every time or can you set me up on a monthly bill? If I order something, are you going to have it in stock or am I going to have to wait? They will always have it in stock. If they don't have it, you don't need it. I mean, seriously. And advice, instructions, hey, you know, I got a problem. How do I solve it? They'll know how to solve it. They'll know what the codes are. They'll make sure that you do it properly, how to install, you know, whatever. And even probably they know the inspectors, so they can probably just make sure that you've got it all covered properly. That's the point. Pensacola Hardware is your expertise resource in the construction field. Since 1851, like before the Civil War, the oldest business in the entire state, one of the 50 oldest in the entire country, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, Pensacola Hardware.
Mom, can I have some ice cream?
I've got a better idea. Who wants to help me make something fun and healthy instead?
Me! Eating smarter is easy and delicious. Interested in receiving healthy recipes and a whole lot more in your email? Then register at healthiestweightfl.com and learn more about all the small steps that you can take on the way to living healthy. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Join us Wednesday for a special Foo Foo Fest edition of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Joining us will be Therese Felt McKenzie, the chair of the Pensacola Foo Foo Festival, Nicholas Stacy, the curator, and Robbie Schrock, the public relations liaison. The 10th anniversary of Pensacola's Foo Foo Fest is coming up soon, and you can get all the details on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Wednesday at 10:30. Pensacola's Foo Foo Festival. Bigger, funnier, artier.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. Pep Talk. Mornings 9 till 11 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Ever eating a hot pocket and then afterwards been, I'm glad I ate that. I'm always like, I'm going to die. I paid for that? Did I eat it or rub it on my face?
Good morning, 757, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. The answer is rubbed it on your face. Candy's got our traffic for us. Candy?
I still like him, though. We're watching, it's not showing an accident. I don't know what it is, but just backed up immensely at Pine Forest. It looks very slow, both north and southbound on Pine Forest, headed to I-10, and I-10 eastbound is very, very slow, both before and after the Pine Forest exit, but clears up before it gets to I-10, then starts up again, and there's another... something that's holding things back, I-10 eastbound, as you're coming from the Car City exit and going east. It looks like it's another accident, but it is slowing things down there in that area. So I-10 eastbound, slow this morning in parts, to give you that. Traffic tip text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. If you need a plumbing issue taken care of, Barbary Plumbing, they'll do it for a flat rate, not by the time it takes, but by the job. A leak, a drip, a weird sound in the wall, pressure, temperature, anything related to plumbing, 477-8782 for Barbary Plumbing. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, we talked a lot last week about all those cyber attacks in Las Vegas, Andrew. MGM Resorts has now said they're losing between $4.2 and $8.4 million per day because of these ongoing cyber attacks. And equity analysts say MGM's forecast to take a 10 to 20% hit on revenue and cash flow each day that the problems exist.
Wow, that's huge, man. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. I haven't said this, we're talking about the UAW strike. I haven't really said it this way, but even though the demands are really outrageous, especially the 32-hour work week, they know they're not going to get that. One thing I thought was smart by the UAW is only striking the three plants to start, as in a strike that will grow as they fail.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.